just start this service off with a moment of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just know that you are well aware of everything happening in the world that you created. Lord, we know you're aware of the hurt and the pain and the suffering of the people that you created. Lord, we ask today that somehow, in some way, each one of us can make a difference in the world, can make a difference in somebody we come in contact with today. As Christ followers that we read your word, we know your word. We can offer comfort through your word. We can offer wisdom through your word, not on our own understanding and not in our own standing, but in your word. Lord, in the darkness of the streets where we walk daily, that we can be a light and a beacon to others that simply say, is there any hope? Lord, help us to be literal hope to those that are lost. And we know that we have hope in you. Because as we sang about today, you've triumphed and defeated the grave. And we thank you for that. We thank you for being our hope and allowing us to be hope to others. Lord, help us focus this week on you, on things in heaven rather than the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. We'll be in two separate places in our Bible. Today we'll be in Colossians 3, and then we'll be in Matthew 25 with a glancing blow past James and Matthew 7. I guess that's four scriptures, isn't it, instead of just two, but whatever. Right now we're going to start in Colossians chapter 3. And as you're turning to Colossians chapter 3, remember, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will... didn't pass. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... So you've got to choose how you respond every day to the things that you face, including the pastor asking you to respond that way. And we have to respond. And in those things, we have to respond in a manner that satisfies me, or we'll have to do it again. But that was good the second time around. Thank you so much for that. And I love that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now let me just stop right there. I had the opportunity to speak to the young adults last Wednesday as Colton was out. And we touched on that. And we touched on, it was James chapter 4. And you can write this down. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But I think it's a good place to reference next to Colossians. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. And it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. So many young people today are chasing the dream of someone else that has fame, that has some type of higher status, they believe. Now, don't let it be stuck to just the young people. Us older folks chase that dream as well, trying to keep up with people. And it says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And then in verse 3 it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You see, it's saying the same thing We're to focus on the things above. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James 4, verse 4. We have to get past those things. James is telling the people what? Their mind and focus are not on the things above. They are self and earthly focused, like we can get so easily. Sometimes the church can get focused on the wrong things as well. And we have to refocus. Maybe not prayer of faith, maybe prayer of faith. But I'm talking about the church in general can get misguided sometimes. Eric and I strive very hard to be biblical pastors and teach biblical lessons. And I think I've mentioned before, I've been in a church service elsewhere, and there was one small reference of a scripture that was so far buried in a message of whatever else that pastor was speaking that I'm sure most people never heard it. I heard it because I was waiting for it, because I was taking notes and wanting to know, what is he preaching out of? He or she, let's keep this anonymous. And I couldn't find where he or she was preaching out of, other than their own desires and their own thoughts. Moving on, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Many of you know that. You've walked in that path of disobedience. And it says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. By the way, that includes what you type on Facebook or text or whatever. Oh, I didn't speak it. No, you just typed it out, wrote it, whatever. It says, put these things off. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge. Church, let us remember, when we become a new creation and we put off the old man and become a new man, we are renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Church, I haven't even got to the scripture that I'm focusing on today. This is just background getting us there. I know you're saying, hurry up and get there so we can leave. Don't worry. You'll get church today, and that's what you came for, right? All right. We'll get to lunch eventually, okay? Relax. Verse 12, the character of the new man. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Patience is what it's saying. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. For if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave him, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Now, this was part of my message series several weeks ago, or a couple months ago, actually. But this ties in today with where we're going. And it says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17 is what I want us to pay attention to. And one other verse I'll get to in a minute here. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, if we're giving our all, whatever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means we should be giving our best and not our leftovers and not so-so and not halfway. But do it. And when you're doing it, give thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, I was going to skip this next part, but I won't, because last time I skipped it, and I'm sure people thought I was just didn't want to get into controversy. But the other part is right after this. But wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Oh, we're to be an encouragement to our children. Okay. Verse 22, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now, here's the other scripture I want us to pay attention to. The first one was in verse 17, and it said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Whew, that's a little tough. So I read all that to get to verse 17 and verse 23, telling us basically we're to do all this as though we're doing it to the Lord, doing it to Him and doing it for Him. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 25. And this is really where our message is today. You're going, why'd you go to Colossians then, Adam? That was a lot of reading. Because it gives some background and it also ties in what Matthew says. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. And it says this, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. Is this thing on? Is it on now? All right. May want to turn it down just a tad. All right. I can tell when it fades in and out. I'm sorry. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Man, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? You're on the right side. He says, hey, you, come to me. If I was sitting on His left, I'd be a little scared right about now. And He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. In verse 35, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer Him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison? And when did we come visit you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now the other group. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me. Again, I'm hoping I'm on the right side. But my life will determine whether I'm on His right or left. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, and they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer to them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And it's powerful. That coincides with Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, there's two groups of people in these stories. There's a group that did not do. And they thought, I only have to do it for the Lord when I see Him or to the Lord. You see, I didn't understand that I needed to feed the hungry. I just thought if Jesus showed up and said, I'm hungry, I had to give Him food. But I didn't know about the others. And then there was the other group that said, whoa, we went and prayed and prophesied and we did all these things in the name of Jesus. And he said, yeah, but I didn't send you. I did not tell you to go do that in my name. You did that on your own and for your own benefit. You see, I wanted you to be still and know that I am God. But you wanted to go run around, no offense, and be a superhero. That's a bad comparison today, I'm sorry. But you wanted to, you know what I'm saying? You wanted to play the superhero. But it wasn't for my benefit or the benefit of the kingdom. It was for your own benefit. Keep your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. From Colossians chapter 3. James chapter 4. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Where do we want to be? Well, I kind of like that seesaw action. It's calming and comforting. Not to God, it's not. He says, you be one or the other. But don't try and play both. Don't ride down the middle of that thing. He says, you've got to be one or the other. One's being cast out for inaction. The other one's being cast out for actions done with the wrong motives. We have to be sure that when we are doing work for the kingdom, it is the work of the church and not church work. We want to make sure that we don't leave those things out. You know, I haven't had kids in school in a couple years now. I mistakenly said, I haven't had a kid in school in 2 years. And someone said, no, it's been three. Okay. But guess what I like doing? I like going to the football games. And I like watching the band and helping them, doing what we can. So lo and behold, they had a football game Friday night. It's kind of a trick question. Kisha, do you have any idea who they played Friday night? Thank you. Beacon Hill Homeschool in Virginia. Not a local school, right? Well, we head over to the visitor side because in Choctaw, that's where the band boosters have their food stand. That's where we make our money. So went over to get food and help them. Help them and then get food. Yeah, we got food. And as we looked around and saw that very, very small team, we said, oh, we better sit over here and cheer these boys on. It was a scrawny and overweight and misuniformed in many different styles and colors ragtag group of boys. It was sad. It was sad. My wife and I were talking to some friends there. And the wife said, oh my goodness, their uniforms don't even match. No, they don't. And I said, who in the world is this we're playing? Oh, that's some out-of-town thing, okay. Looked it up, Beacon Hill Homeschool. So, halftime came, and at this point they were losing. And they went up there and we said, oh my goodness, we need to go cheer these boys on. Here they come. And I'm not gloating on myself. God had prompted me to get up and go encourage these boys. So as they're going back down the multiple steps, mission of one, party of one, cheering them on. Hang in there, guys. Keep digging. One much larger guy, the ref stopped the game, said, get over to the sidelines, and he barely made it to the sidelines. He got his helmet off before he spewed everywhere. The heat, the work, the effort. Someone said, my gosh, they should put the third and fourth string in. I said, yeah, that's the whole team. That's it. Though that small group is it. Hang in there, guys. Keep digging. Don't give up. That's the best I had for him. But it was something. So at the end, here they come. I said, oh, we're going over there. And there's a beautiful picture of them praying with Choctaw High School. My wife said, oh, you need to send this to the guy. Oh, I met a coach, by the way, going down. They came out after the team went down. And they have those shirts, you know, straight out of Compton. And this one said, straight out of worship and praise. I said, straight out of worship and praise. I love that. What's that about? Oh, yeah, such and such church. If you're ever in town, I said, I'm from here. I don't know where that is in West Virginia, but I'm from here. He said, well, this is our church, man. I said, well, I'm Pastor Adam Dilley, man. I love that T-shirt that you're wearing. I look back and here's the coach who's all wearing the same T-shirt. So afterwards, I noticed that they were praying on the sidelines and they prayed with the Choctaw football team. We cheered them on to their 66-0 loss. 66-0. But when they came up those steps, there was a group of us that had gone over. Cheered them on. Man, way to go. Band boosters, hey, here's some water. They got helmets that said, dump it in the helmet. I don't mean pour it in there, but yeah, drop it in the helmet. And they had food down there. They had leftover hamburgers and hot dogs. Said, we got food for you. And one lady said, man, I'm going to offer them a mom hug. And she said, you need a mom hug. First guy's like, yeah. Gives her a hug. She said, oh, That's a sweaty boy. I said, I get it. Get in there and give them all a mom hug. They need that for the road. And so we gave hugs and bottles of water and food and hand claps, little fist bumps. And we gave encouragement the best we could. One guy said, man, y'all beat us 66-0, and now you're trying to be nice to us? They said immediately, whoa, we're the band parents, man. We're good people. And he was just messing with them, but he took the hug and the food and the water. And I thought about this. Now, the coaches came up, and they said, man, I really appreciate that. He said, hey, I'd like to connect with you. So I gave him our information, sent them some pictures we had taken of them praying. There was one picture my wife said, oh, immediately the Choctaw paper had Choctaw blast or beat so-and-so 66-0. I said, I won't send that picture to them, but, you know. But I sent a picture of the teams praying together and then praying on the sidelines. And I said, appreciate what you guys are doing for these young men. As for the least of these, when did you see me hungry? Lord, when did I see you hungry? Well, when I was wearing this mismatched uniform down there on the sidelines. And when I was running off to the side and took my helmet, I was throwing up on the sidelines. And you offered me encouragement. And it only takes one person. I said, I'm going over there. By the time it was over, there's eight of us standing there. Not a huge group, but there's eight of us offering that encouragement, clapping one by one as every one of them came up. I said, there's a guy still down there on the sidelines. Let's not leave him behind. And we waited. Came up and clapped. And sometimes that's all we need to be, is a little cheerleader in somebody's background, offering them encouragement and support. Something to drink, something to eat. And I want us to take just a minute in your mind to think, who is the least of these in my life? And where are they? Is it this person I pass every day? Is it this house I pass every day? Is it this person at work every day? Who can we give encouragement to? And at work, we have little cards, and I give those out as encouragement. I got the idea from my boss, the owner of my company, who gave me a card of encouragement. I said, oh, I like that. That made a world of difference to me. So I start handing these things out. There's people to this day may not have much on their desk, but they're going to have that card they got. And it's happy birthday, it's happy Mother's Day, happy Father's Day, happy single parent day. Whatever it is, an encouraging word. You know, I look at that song we sang today. Come away with me, it's never too late. Now, in my mind, I was thinking, hey, I'm looking at the heavenly aspect. It may be if we don't make that choice. In church, I'm telling you, regardless of your age, if you haven't made that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, don't wait. If you have questions about that, ask Pastor Eric, myself. Ask somebody in this church body that you trust that can give a good, solid answer to your questions. But don't wait. I told Eric I've been to 3 funerals in the last 6 weeks. Most recent was for a coworker. He passed away unexpectedly. Went to his funeral Friday. We can't wait. And we have to be encouragement and we have to be motivators to people to make those decisions and to make sure they understand. And we have to be witnesses for Him and what He's done in our life. And when we talk about Jesus Christ and who He is and the man He is, I was the old man. I was stuck in the old ways. But He made me a new creation. Now my old man kept wanting to go to my old house. But I know He's built a new house and He's prepared an even better house for me. And now I can focus on the things above and not the earthly things. And when I pray for the things above. And I pray that God does His will rather than praying selfishly for earthly things that have no matter in heaven. Find the football players in your life that need encouragement. Offer them food, water, love, encouragement. God desires and says, man, I want you to live intentionally when you become mine. And I want you to be full and overflowing of love so that other people feel it and sense it and know it. And full of joy. And in mercy. And grace. And compassion. And I've said it before, it's very hard to be compassionate. Why? Because it takes effort. And it's hard, and sometimes it hurts to be compassionate to other people. But God says, man, that's who my Son was. I've made you in my image, and you are to be Christ-like, and you are His representative. Go out there and change the world. Can I do it? Yes, you can. I love Wednesday night. I'm trying to think who was right here, and we were talking about how can we make a difference. I said we can make a difference by our actions. I think that was one of you two, Jordan or Aaron. Was it Aaron? Through our actions. Jordan, it could have been you because you were closer to me. And it was someone that was sitting close to me. But they said, through our actions, we don't have to get up there and preach a message, but it could be the way we speak to one another. So I'm not telling everyone to go out and be pastors. Bible cautions against that. It says, hey, by the way, there's a different amount of accountability for pastors. Eric and I are well aware of that. But be a life changer and change the world. We need to get over ourselves. We need to get past ourselves. We need to get beyond ourselves so that we can be used in God's kingdom to the fullest. Amen? Let's go out there and be a light and a beacon and encouragement to the least of these. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word today, and I thank You for the least of these, Lord, that allows us opportunity to minister to one another, to minister to those that need Your encouragement. Heavenly Father, I ask You just to point people in our direction that need lifting up. I ask You to spur us on to be life changers. Let us be intentional about who and what we are, what we claim to be. Lord, let us walk out of here today refocused on the new man, leaving the old man behind. Lord, I pray today that we become life changers for others in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and worship with us today like you are full of love and joy from the Lord. We'll be right back.